Favorite book in the Bible, the book of Ruth. We're going to read five verses, but then we're going to back up to set the stage for where we need to go. So Ruth chapter 2, we'll start in verse 13. The Bible says in verse 13, "Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and lead them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you, God, for the spirit we felt already, for those that were just in the altar, Lord, getting help, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you will help us, God, Lord. Lord, help me, God, to be a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's an honor to stand here and get to read God's word, to teach God's word. You know, at work, I get to make sure that everybody teaches people how to read and do math and all that's good. But, you know, this is the really good stuff. If I was going to title this tonight, I would title it, Stay in the Field. If you go back to Ruth chapter 1, we start out, it says that it was in a time of judges and there was a famine in the land and Elimelech, I learned this week, it means my God is king. So Elimelech takes his wife, Naomi, and Naomi means kindness, and their two children, or their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, which means weak, daughter David, and sickly, I had to pick on you, but that's what their names mean, and they left Bethlehem, and you know, for us been in church a while, we know that Bethlehem means house of bread, and they went to Moab. Now Moab is not the house of bread, and it's mentioned in Psalm 108 that it's the wash pot. I didn't know what wash pot meant. I listened to several preachers this week, commentators on this, and read, but wash pot basically means trash can, or that thing that you wash your feet in. So they left where God was, although there was a famine, and they went to the wash pot. Now, I'm not judging Elimelech by any means, because, you know, none of us are perfect, and he had to do that what was right for his family. And he also, and God's orchestrating this, as we're going to see. God had a plan for this family. So they end up in Moab, and the Bible says that Elimelech died, and it goes on to say that Naomi and the boys, they stayed there. I don't know how old they were. I'm assuming they probably wasn't very old. But it says that they did take wives of the Moabitess women. One took a wife named Orpah, and the other one took a wife named Ruth. They're having a great time, or so it seems. They're in this land, and the two boys die. So Naomi has left all her people, and here she is in a strange land. She has nobody but these two daughters-in-law, and she hears that there is now bread in Bethlehem. That's about chapter 1, verse 6. It said that she got word that there was bread in Bethlehem, so Naomi starts thinking, I got to get back home. So she starts talking to these two girls, and she tells them that there's bread in Bethlehem. I'm going back home. And it looks like they're following her on the way. And then she turns back, and she tells them, you need to stay here with your families, because, you know, back then, if your husband died, you know, you had to marry within the family. And Naomi's telling them, she says, I am not going to have any more kids. I'm old. There's no way I don't have a kid. And if I did get married and have a kid, or you don't wait on them to get married, you need to stay here. Orpah ends up turning around. Ruth follows Naomi, and again, Naomi's trying to get her not to go, but apparently, and the Bible doesn't say all this, but there must have been something special about Naomi. Ruth must have watched Naomi all these years, because it says in verse 16 that Naomi, Ruth says, where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. So although they were in the wash pot, they were away from where God's blessing was, Naomi must have been living some kind of way. Because you don't see that very often, where a daughter-in-law is going to follow her mother-in-law. But she does. And then we see that as they are traveling back to Bethlehem, and I thought about this, you know, when did Naomi's life start to change? And I believe it was right when she turned around. So, you know, we may be in here tonight, and, you know, we may have walked away. All of us walked away. We talk about all the time in the man cave that, you know, we don't always be where we need to be. But I believe right when Naomi made up her mind, right when she started that first step back to Bethlehem, that she was going back to the will of God. And it wasn't no short trip. You know, it was 50 miles, rough terrain. You know, we get to get in our cars and trucks, cut the heated seats on and the heaters, and we have great rides. You know, I got to go down to Loda Bar tonight when I leave here out in the land of no communication. But, you know, it's going to be a great ride. That wasn't the case for Naomi and Ruth. And here's these two ladies. There's no man to go with them. And, you know, back in that time, you know, women didn't do the things that men do. They were not considered as important. But they had to get back to Bethlehem. We see here in the latter part of chapter 1 that as they get to Bethlehem, they notice who Naomi is, and we see Naomi's hurt. They calling her Naomi, and she's hearing Naomi, Naomi, Naomi over and over again, and she said, stop, don't call me that. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter. And I can see why she's bitter. She's lost everything. She lost her husband, she lost her sons, and here she is, a bitter woman. But she tells Ruth that there is a kinsman. In the first part of chapter 2, verse 1, we are introduced to that kinsman. The Bible says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, and the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So we're introduced to that kinsman redeemer, and we've heard this story time and time again of how Boaz is like Jesus. And it says here that he was a man of wealth. You know, God owns everything. The Bible said he owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. That's amazing. He owns it all. Here, Boaz is compared to him as being rich. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, go, daughter. Verse 3 says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hout was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now let's stop here for a minute. Back in that day, they had these great fields, and David talked about Miss Rabin this morning. She did have a garden out between hers and Kimmy's house. But back in this time, they would have these big fields, and they were not allowed, the landowners, their reapers were not allowed to pick from the corners. That was for the poor people. Now, I'm going to back up. I wish I would have known this about 20-something years ago when Diane and John always had a big garden. And many of you have been to their house and seen that garden. That ain't nothing compared to what they used to have. Across the road, their son lives there, and behind his house, they had a garden. They had about 10 million rows of beans. And really? Y'all think I'm exaggerating? I'm really not. And Nanny was a kind soul, and Nanny would call me, and she would say, Chucky, you know Diane and Ansel's worked all night. We called him Ansel. They said, you know Diane and Ansel's worked all night, and they got to come in and go to bed. Will you come help me pick these beans? And we'd get out there and we'd pick beans for hours and hours and hours and then have to go wash them. And I tell you what, if I dropped a bean, I picked it up. I wasn't leaving it. But anyway, here they were required to leave some. Also, when they did it, if they dropped it, they couldn't go back through and pick it up. And that's in Deuteronomy and Leviticus where it gives them the law, because God has a plan for everybody. And, you know, that was the first sign of welfare. You know, not to get on a soapbox, but you know, welfare is not just to sit at home while I work and my taxes allow you to sit at home. You at least need to get up and do your part. And that's what they said here. That's just a side part. So anyway, so we go on. So she's asking to go to Boaz's fields. And it says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now here we see Boaz as a kind person. He came up to his workers. He wasn't rude. He wasn't hateful. You know, when we watch the old movies about the plantation owners from the 1800s, they were hateful, rude. That wasn't the case for Boaz. He looked out for his people. Then it says in verse 5, then Boaz said unto his servants, what was said over the reapers? Whose damsel is this? And in verse 6 it says, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Now I'm sure that Boaz had heard a little bit that Naomi was back. We had seen earlier that she told him, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. So he knew she was back. And he probably recognized something about Ruth because she probably didn't look like the other girls did. She was a foreigner, you know. We all don't look alike. And then verse 7. Verse 7 is where there's a little bit of a turning point. Verse 7 says, and she said, I pray you, this is what Naomi said, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. We see here Naomi, Ruth, I mean, is not lazy. She's willing to work. She came, she said, let me reap. And she has reaped all day long. She hasn't rested. She's just reaped. She just did that what she was supposed to do. Verse 7, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in any other field. He's telling her to stay in the field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. We see two things here that Boaz tells her. Stay in this field. I've got you. You know what? Jesus has got us tonight. We need to stay right here. You know what? If you're thinking about going to Moab, don't. It's not worth the trip. It tore Naomi's family apart, so to speak. She lost everything when she was away. But Boaz is saying, don't make that mistake, Ruth. You stay right here. I got you. Then he's going to tell her how he's got her. After that, it says, stay with the maidens. Those maidens know what to do. You know, we talk all the time in the man cave. The preacher talks all the time about here, you know what? We got to surround ourselves with Christians. It don't know do any good to go out there and be a part of the world. Although, we've got to live in the world. But you know what? Look around. There's plenty of people in here to hang around with that you can call when you need help, when you're in trouble. He goes on in verse number 9. He says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go after them. He's telling them, go after them. Don't just wait on the blessing to come to you. You know, we had a lot of prayer requests today. We've had a lot of prayer requests lately. We can't just sit there and do nothing. We got to pray. We got to put legs on them prayers. You know, when we don't feel good, sometimes it's a good idea to go to the doctor and get medicine. I believe the Lord's put doctors here with those know-hows. You know, I look back there on the back seat and I see Charlie. And you know, Charlie's really not supposed to be here. There's still doctors that tell parents that if they find out they have that, when they're still expecting that, you shouldn't have that kid. You know, I'm glad that we didn't know before she was born, but you know, I'm glad that right doctor was there that morning to know what was wrong and know what to do. And we wasn't just sent home with a death sentence, but we received that blessing. So he's telling them. He goes on, he says, and he says, I have charged young men that they shall not touch thee. He's a protector. Isn't how Jesus is? He protects us. You know, when we think of what we went through in life, maybe we've been horrible wrecks or we've been through just horrible situations. You know, the Lord protected us. You know, we could be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were in the fire. They came through. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's God's protection. And that's what God's telling, that's what Boaz is telling Ruth here. He goes on, he says, after that, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He's the water. Boaz here say, there's plenty of drink over there. When you get thirsty, go over there and have a drink. You know, Jesus told the woman at the well that I'll give you a drink, I'll give you water, and you will never thirst again. Wow, that is so cool. Verse 10 says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Have you ever asked the Lord that? Why have I found grace in your eyes? I mess up all the time. I'm aggravating. I get on people's nerves. Talking about y'all, not me. But why do I find grace in your eyes? But we do. He gives us grace every day. It's due every day. Every day when we get up, we get new grace. And it's just the most amazing thing in the world. And here Ruth is. She's a stranger in this town. Boaz really didn't know her, but yet he's given her grace. And in a minute, we're going to see how he went above and beyond. She fell on her face to the ground. Why have I found grace in thine eye that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You know, that's one difference I saw between Jesus and Boaz. You know, he's always known us. The Bible talks about that before we were in our mom's belly, that he knew us. He knew who we were going to be. Verse 11 says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast dealt with thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of those other handmaids. She said, I'm not like everybody else, but you know what? I found favor in your sight. She's asked him, why are you so kind? She talks to him, and she asked for that favor. Verse 14 says, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. He's inviting her to sit and eat with him. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. She got what she needed for that moment. But there's more to come. And when she was risen up to glean, so she went back out there to eat, or to glean, to do hard work, to labor, to bend, to try to pick all that barley, do what needed to be done. It says, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. So she no longer has to stay on the boundaries. She ain't got to go and try to pick up the remnants, the little dirt. He's telling them, you let her pick among the good stuff. And then he says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and lead them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So he tells her, telling them, let her go out there and get the good stuff and drop some on purpose. Now, as I was reading and studying all this, I saw lots of cool things. And one commentator, And another thing I read said that they were bunched together. So they would have been bunched together like this. So she's out there working, and they're just dropping it on purpose. Now remember, back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it said that you couldn't go back and pick it up if you dropped it. So they just out there dropping it on purpose for her to come by and pick it up. You know, ain't that how God is? The blessings that he just drops for us. It's just amazing. You know, I talk about Charlie all the time. You know, that's my blessing. You know, I didn't know where it was going, but you know, she's got a great story to tell one day about how the Lord touched her. When she went through all that stuff 8 years ago and was on the heart transplant list, and you know, we were up there and we were tore up because they said she was going to have a new heart, and here she is 3 years old, and you know, I don't understand all that stuff. And you know, I've never, you know, when she was born, they said, whatever y'all do, don't look up HLHS on the internet because they stupid stuff on there that's not true. And I Google everything. It don't matter what it is, but I've never Googled that because I don't want to be confused. But you know what? You know, the doctor told us after she was taken off the transplant list, you know, that's just dropping some on purpose right there. You know, God didn't have to do that. You know, the doctor told us we went to a checkup up there at the hospital, and the doctor's walking around, and he walked up to us. He said, you know what? He said, that's a miracle. He said, that had to be the Lord. He said, that there was no science to what I was doing. You know what? That's just a handful on purpose. You know, Davis talked about after Tanner was born that Jeannie got real sick. And you know what? He was sitting there at the hospital out there on the sidewalk, and there come Janet and Josh just to be with him. You know what? That's the Lord just dropping some on purpose. And you know, it's all over the building. Yeah. Dallas, the other week in Sunday school, he talked about how up there in West Virginia, he's the baby. But you know what? Those older brothers and sisters, you know who they call when they need something? They call Dallas. You know, that's just a handful. You know, it's just amazing, and it's all over the building. Ashley back there shouldn't even be here, and you know, that's another one. It's just everywhere. It just amazes me how good God is, and you know, he's always done it. He's never been different. You know, in the Bible, Sarah really wanted a baby. 90 years old, had a baby. That's amazing. That's just dropping some handfuls. And it just goes on and on and on. Hannah prayed for that baby. You know what? She got a baby. David was over to get able to get rid of Goliath. And it goes on and on and on and on. And you know, he still does it. It's just all the time. Mama's got a little bit of problems going on with her heart. You know what? God's going to take care of it. I'm not worried. I know he's got it. He's done it again and again. Linda's sitting back there, you know, a little over a year ago. She couldn't even come to church because she's so sick. But you know what? God just keeps dropping it over and over again. You know, we get to the New Testament. We see it in the New Testament how the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. 12 years she had those issues. But here comes God just dropping it off because she touched him, the hem of his garment. You know, when she was made new. It's just amazing what God can do for us if we would just let him. We just got to stay in the field. That's what Boaz said. Boaz said, girl, I got you. Just stay right here in this field. And you know she did. And it's just amazing. It just blew me away this week when I saw that. And I'm just amazed at that, at how good God is. I got asthma. So that's what God does for us. So we talked about Sarah. You know, Jesus healed the woman. You know, the angel of the Lord, you know, in our Easter play, Clint plays Peter, and Peter's all boastful and saying, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. He denies him, and then, you know, Jesus has risen from the dead. The two Marys, they get to the grave, the tomb. Nobody's there. The angel says, go tell my disciples and Peter. You know why? Because he knew that Peter loved him. That's dropping handfuls of purpose. Amen. You know, it's just amazing what God can do for us. And you know, I said earlier, I wasn't on Judge Elimelech, and I'm not on judging because you know what? We'd have did the same thing. But God had to set everything in place because Ruth played an important part in the rest of the Bible story. If you read on in chapter 4 of this book, it says that Boaz and Ruth, and the cleaning ladies don't kill me, it said that Boaz and Ruth had a son. They named him Obed. And then if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 in there, and it says, and it's given the genealogies, and it says, Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And then when you get to verse number 15 or 16, it says, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, who begat Jesus. So Ruth had to go to Moab. I mean, Naomi had to go to Moab. She had to go through all those struggles to get to the blessings of God. And you know what, Jeannie, y'all come on back. You know what, Jesus is still giving blessings. You know, there's enough blessings here for all of us. We could go all around the building. I look at Jamie back there a few years ago. You know, she had cancer, but look at her now. You know, that's God. It's just everywhere. It's amazing what God can do. Y'all stand.